We have coming-of-age stories, taking a look at it from many perspectives. We've got help from friends, conflict in families. But how about a kitten, and how it is that a kitten or a cat could help a 12-year-old girl get through the 60s and into the 70s? That's the story that Helen Brown tells of Mickey. She joins us on the program this afternoon. Hello, Helen.
Hello, Trevor.
Firstly, tell us about Mickey.
Well, he came into my life at a time where I was feeling very in between worlds, lost, really. I was 12 and I wasn't yet a teenager, though that was a pretty new invention in 1966.
Yeah.
And I didn't seem to have any friends, or the ones I had didn't seem to thoroughly like me. And at the same time, my parents seemed to be going through their own crises and not be that interested in me, and I didn't know what the heck to do. And then my father, who ran the local gasworks, amazingly, one day, handed me this box, and inside it, under a sack, was, well, it had one eye at that point because the other eye was glued shut. But, yeah, he'd found the rest of this kitten's family had all been poisoned at the gasworks, and one of the stokers had found this Mickey. Well, I named it Mickey, him Nicky. And I think Dad sensed that I needed something in my life. And what I needed to do, I think, was to love something outside myself. And I think Dad realised that on one level, and that's why he gave me Mickey. But it was complicated because Mum hated cats.
No. That does complicate
things
a little bit.
Well, she was from the country, you know, and cats, not really useful unless they're in a barn catching rats, you know. And she was much more of a dog person. And she was going through a terrible crisis. She was a very artistic, highly strung woman, and she was auditioning for a role in The King and I in the local operatic society, and her whole life was focused on that. So fortunately, I was able to hide the cat from her for quite a long time.
12 is such a difficult age. I don't care what generation you're from. 12, 13, 14 are really, really difficult, especially when you don't feel that you fit in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the things that's so lovely about a cat?
Absolutely. And I think of 12-year-olds today, and what do we give them? We get them an iPhone, you know?
Yep.
And they disappear into that artificial world, and they don't really learn any of the basic skills of being alive and connecting with others, you know? Eye contact, reading subtle body language in other people, just sitting and being for each other, you know?
What does a cat do with that, though? And what does a kitten do as far as those things are concerned?
Well, Mickey taught me an awful lot, really. He taught me patience. I had to hide his litter box under my bed for a while, so I had to put up with that. And it was a sense of bonding and security that he gave me, and he was a great listener.
Is that the thing that's wonderful when you're 12 or 13? Because you don't feel like you're listened to,
no,
and that you've got something that will sit there and listen.
Someone, yeah. Mm. And he didn't judge. And like me, he was an outsider. He was a polydactyl. He had extra paws. Ernest Hemingway, the writer, was a fan of polydactyl cats. So we were both a bit freaky, but he also encouraged me to extend my boundaries. I was quite a sedentary child, though I was destined, I thought, to become the world's next prima ballerina.
Lovely.
I was having trouble coming to terms with the reality of that. But Mickey climbed trees, and I had to climb trees too. I had to get off my backside and do these things with him.
I love the way you picked me up on saying something instead of someone. That's lovely. John joins us this afternoon. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What did you want to say?
Well, I had a pet cat. Her mother was a purebred Blue Point Siamese who went through Cyclone Tracy and turned pure white, was brought back to Melbourne and escaped one night, and not too sure who the father was, but Sammy was a black Siamese-shaped cat who used to come in the car with me. And I had, in those days, scant regard for speed limits, but Sammy would pick a police car, marked or unmarked, from miles away. And so if Sammy disappeared under the seat, I knew to slow down.
apart from it being economically benefit for you, John, what are the other benefits that Sammy had?
Sammy was just a beautiful creature.
He sounds magnificent. Yeah. But, you know, black Siamese. I love black cats.
Yes, she was just a magnificent personality. And her major benefit of being able to pick a police car for me was magnificent.
But that's so true. I think a few people would be chasing up exactly that cat, John. Thank you. What sort of support, because you were talking about how it was somebody that gave you support and was with you and was possibly a little bit different. How important was it that Mickey was a little bit different?
I think it was vital. But then I think most cats are a little bit different, aren't they? They are. They represent the other. And I think that's why they were assumed to be the witch's familiar, because they seem to come from another world, and they do, many of them seem to have this almost psychic ability to know when we're upset. The first cat I had was a black one who turned up 3 weeks after my son was run over and killed, Cleo, and she had that ability, and she turned out to be the most wonderful healer for all of our family, helping us through trauma, and that's what cats have done for me through my quite long life.
Why did you want to tell the story of Mickey, though?
Well, it was partly COVID, sitting alone in my study and feeling so isolated. And one thing I had was my father's colour slides. Did your father take colour slides?
Yeah. I've got some. And boy, those slide nights went for a very long time on occasions.
We used to love them. And anyway, these slides, I had a few of them printed out. They started beaming down at me from the walls. Mm. And that time of the 60s, so it was the most tremendous, tumultuous time of change. There was a great optimism as well as fear of nuclear war and all the other things. It was really probably one of the most historic times in that regard. And lately I've been listening to the music from that era, and it's all so positive. You know, you can't find a minor key.
So did that mean that Mickey also provided a continuity for you as well through that turmoil? So while all those things are happening around, there's that continuity that you got in your life?
Absolutely. And he was kind of looking out for me, and he sensed the connection that we had. I always think cats choose you.
Mm.
And he chose me in the way that my father sensed I needed something. Mickey seemed to know he was the one I needed,
Joe joins us this afternoon. Hello, Joe.
Oh, look, I'm going to talk about the cats and the elderly, but just agree with the lady. They are psychic. A cat turned up in my garden that week my dog died, and it was just such a healing episode, and we had such a beautiful relationship. But I've, as a community health nurse, I've come across many elderly people who their only real friend is the cat, and usually a cat that seeked them out turned up in their garden and stayed with them. And I have placed cats in nursing homes, and it's beautiful to see the cats seek out the people that need the most, and also people living in homes with severe disabilities. A cat has been a marvellous interaction with those people.
Look, Joe, thank you. Helen's nodding. Is that one of the significant things about them as well, Helen?
Absolutely. And having written, I think it's now 4 books about cats and the connections that I've had with them and other people, I listen to so many stories from people around the world who have experienced these similar things.
Why is it? Because when we think of stories about cats, we think of children's books about cats.
I know.
Why is it that you think it's a good idea to actually look at cats from a different perspective and not from a child's perspective or not as a children's book?
Because they teach us to be better humans. I'm sure of that. Because I don't know what your brain's like, but mine's now completely wired into my phone, and I find it really hard not to play stupid games on the phone when I could actually be looking at the beautiful autumn that Melbourne's having at the moment, or looking into the eyes of someone in a cafe, or making friends with a baby, you know. So I think that's where animals, and cats in particular, can help remind us to get back to our own animal selves and how to connect with others and the world around it, not retreat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you remember, you know, was it in the Howard era where we were supposed to be alert but not alarmed? Mm. And now we're all alarmed because of what's fed through the news feeds at us, but it's not alert. You've got white things stuck in your ears and you walk out into the traffic because you're so deeply engrossed in this other world.
So is this a cat book? Is this for people who like cats?
Yeah, well, partly. I mean, to me, the cat is often a metaphor for healing of some kind. And for some people, it's not cats. For some people, it's dogs or trees or goldfish or God or music. They're also all from the non-physical world. And, you know, all the things that matter the most to us, we can't weigh or measure. Things like love, compassion, empathy, those things are immeasurable.
I remember having a wonderful conversation to a young woman who's autistic, and she was talking about the importance of being able to sparkle and that everybody has the thing that makes them sparkle in their lives. And for you, that seems like the thing that makes you sparkle.
It is a bit, but you haven't read the book. But at the same time, I did have fairies in my room. We lived in this crazy house. And speaking of sparkle, they used to come sparkling down the wallpaper. And I don't know whether it's because I had needed more eye surgery or that I was actually seeing these fairies, but somehow Mickey and the fairies were connected. There was all from the unseen world.
I think we go with the fairies.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Brenda joins us this afternoon. Hello, Brenda.
Brendan. Yeah.
Oh, Brendan. Hello, Brendan.
Yeah, I had, when I was about three, my brother put me on his bike and near the handlebars, and I ended up with a broken leg. So he always felt very guilty, and we had one of those really old, like Victorian red prams, and he'd push me around the garden guiltily, and I'd always have at least one cat on me. So, yeah.
What is it you like about them, though, Brendan?
When they accept you, and I think, as somebody said, they choose you, but it's just a loving, affection, yeah.
Look, thank you. That idea of acceptance, Helen, is that a significant thing with cats as well, that they accept you and vice versa?
Absolutely. And, they sit back and assess situations, and they're not just driven by us giving them food, you know. It's a negotiation. And the main reason they seek us out is for company, you know. It's not for just survival, because they can survive on their own. That's what can make them a bit scary sometimes.
So they're not aloof and stick their nose up in the air at us.
Yeah.
Helen, it's been lovely talking to you about it this afternoon. Your book is called Mickey, and I'm going to read it. It's a beautiful story and a great idea. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.